Well, good morning, everyone. Please have a seat. Welcome to South Lansing Christian Church. My name is Walter, and I'm the teaching small groups minister here. And it's good to be with you on a nice rainy fall day. Fall's one of my favorite seasons. And so, yeah, I'm just excited about everything that's going to come along with fall in life in general and everything that's coming along with fall here at South Lansing Christian Church. Today we are in the third week of our three-week series on Seek, Study, and Serve, and we're going to talk about that just a little bit more in a little bit later, but for right now I want to talk about what's coming up over the next couple weeks. First off, we have, on Saturday, we've got our 70th anniversary celebration, 6 p.m. I know there's been some questions about when that's happening. That's happening here at 6 p.m. on Saturday night, and Ron Otto and Frank Weller, our two previous senior ministers, will be here. We're going to have Frank preach that night, but there will be some shenanigans with our three lead ministers at this point, and it's going to be a good night. And then following that, we have a campfire outside, a bonfire. There's going to be s'mores and refreshments out there. And then on Sunday morning, Ron Otto will be preaching. We'll have a brunch between services. And then after the 11 a.m. service, we've got a whole picnic. It's going to happen outside. Harold, one of our members, who is an amazing cook and works at a restaurant, is making pulled pork for us. You're not going to want to miss that. So that's all next week. And then following that, we're jumping into Immerse as a church. This is the wrap-up of our three-year journey through Scripture. And so if you've been with us on this journey, you know what this is all about. We buy these books. They're about $10. If you can't afford $10, we have generous members all the time who pay an extra copy, and so you can just pick one of these up. They're at guest services. Now, what these are is the text of the New Living Translation, which we think is the most readable translation, and so it's the text without the chapter and verse markings, and that allows us to not be distracted by the things that we impose on the text, and it becomes more readable like a novel, like a book. And so our church is going to be reading this. 5 days a week we read together. It's 5 or 6 pages, so it's not a huge ask. We also have audio online that's available, and that's at seekstudyserve.org/immerse. So you can listen instead of read, which is an entirely valid way to process Scripture. We're going to be reading this. Our sermons for the next 8 weeks will be out of this. Our small groups will be talking about this. And if you're not in a small group yet, there's no time like the present to jump into one of those. But if you're a little hesitant about that, we also have a book club that's happening here on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 in the Fireside Room, led by Jim Pennington. And so they'll be also talking about what we're reading. We think that when you get into Scripture, God's Word gets into your mind, into your heart, and it affects the way that you live. And so we're excited about this journey. I'm glad that you're on it with us. Now this morning, we're talking about seeking, studying, and serving God, and that's made me think a little bit about clothing, and to be honest, I don't often think about clothing, and I've been accused recently of trying to wear the same outfit every Sunday morning. I don't know if you've noticed. I'm sorry. I just don't want to think about it. When I wake up in the morning, I want to grab 2 things out of my closet and go. But because we're in Colossians, because we're talking about serve this morning, we're going to talk about putting things on and putting things off. And that makes me think about clothes. And if you're like me, you probably have some outfits, some uniforms for different occasions. You've got your work outfit or your school that you go and you spend the majority of your day in. You've probably got some grubby clothes at home for working in the yard or cleaning things up. You hopefully have some pajamas. You've got some formal outfits for going to special events and occasions. You maybe even have some extra grubby clothes for doing those really nasty jobs like working on your car or, you know, cleaning the bathroom. We all dress a certain way on purpose, with purpose. And I've heard it said that your clothes have the potential to say something about you. You know, it's that saying that the clothes make the man. Well, I think it's more than that. More than your clothes say something about you, your clothes say something about what you're up to. Imagine going on a first date and showing up in a beekeeper's uniform. There'd be some questions, right? Or imagine going out to take care of your bees, which I'm sure you guys all have, and showing up in your swimming suit. There would be some more questions at the ER when you are driven there. Today, as we talk about serving, as we talk about clothing, putting some behaviors, some attitudes off and putting others on, we're going to be in Colossians, and what Paul is describing there is new life in Christ. But before we get there, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 12. Seek, study, serve. These are the three parts of our mission that our church has been called to be about in the South Lansing area. Our mission statement here is we help people write the next chapter in their faith story by creating environments, and an environment is simply, you know, us gathering together to worship God on a Sunday morning, or an environment is your small group, or an environment is maybe student ministry or kids ministry. We help people write the next chapter in their faith story by creating environments where they can seek, study, and serve God. And we see that coming out of Jesus' command in Mark chapter 12 when he was asked about what is the foundational, the most important commandment. And he said this, "The most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord." Verse 30 of Mark 12, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." And the second is equally important. "Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." Because of Jesus' response here, we think that healthy Christians, the healthiest Christians, are those who are seeking God with their hearts, which, if you'll remember, we talked about that being the center of our will. It's where we make commitments and decisions from a biblical understanding. So the healthiest Christians are those who are seeking God with their hearts, who are studying God with their minds. And we talked about that last week too, how everyone is studying something, right? And healthy followers of Jesus are called to study God as well. And so those who are seeking God with their hearts, studying God with their minds, and then serving God with their strengths. Strength. Singular. I did that last week too. Man. So when we think about that though, when we think about serving God, what exactly are we supposed to do? Right, what behaviors, what actions are we to take? I think often we're looking for some kind of a list, some kind of boxes to check and say, okay, I'm serving God right. I mean, is it enough for me to serve on the guest services team, or do I also need to jump in on the worship ministry in some way? Is it enough for me to serve back in Kid City, or do I also need to bake cookies and take them out to my neighborhood and deliver them in the name of Jesus? Is it enough for me to serve with our church as we go into our neighborhoods and make a difference? Or do we need to go full on Mother Teresa? How will I know when I have arrived, when I've done enough? Answering that question is what we're talking about today. And I hope that when you leave here, you have an idea not only what you should be doing to serve God, but also why you should serve. So Colossians 3, if you want to turn there with me. We're starting in verse 1 as Paul talks again about this new life. And some of this is going to sound familiar to you because we read it last week, the first four verses. "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory." As a reminder, Paul is writing to people who are probably the first Christians in their families, among their friend groups. This is a new church in the city of Colossae, and he's telling them, look, your old life was this way, and now your new life as a follower of Jesus is this way. That whole thing we talk about in baptism, when you die to yourself, you're buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, and you're raised to new life. And so he encourages them to be different in their focus, in their speech, in their actions. He encourages them later on to study God, and we'll read verses 16 and 17 about devoting our mental energy to studying God. And I was thinking about that this week, and one of the reasons that we study God is so that we get to know more about him. And that's similar to any relationship where we want to deepen the relationship, we study the other person, right? So if it's a friend or a close family member, a significant other, you try to figure out more about them. You try to ask yourself, what would they like for Christmas? What would be a good way for me to spend some quality time with them so that they know that they are loved? You study another person so that you can deepen the relationship. You learn more about them so that you get to know them better. And it's the same with God. We study God so that we can deepen our relationship with him. We learn more about him so that we can know him better. Now today, the practical result of that mind that's studying God and that heart that's seeking God is this life lived out in service to God. Paul, here in the next section, he describes it as a series of things to put off and a series of things to put on. Verse 5. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger and rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. I know it's fall and we're enjoying the weather right now, but have you, if you'll think back with me to summer, have you ever been out in the yard or maybe working in the garden on a real hot, like 85 degree day? The sun is beating down on you, and apparently some of us have not been out working on a hot 85 degree day, and that's okay. The sun is beating down on you, and you're sweating, and you're gross, and you're getting muddy and dirty in the garden. And you wrap up your job there, and you walk inside of the house, and the first thing that you know is you are out of place, right? You're covered in grime, and the inside of a house is incompatible with that grimy, sweaty person that you are at that moment. And so you can't make food for your family, because if you're like me, you sweat a lot, and you'll sweat in the food. Eric told me I was over-disclosing this week, but that's all right. We'll get through this. You can't go sit in the living room because you'll get the couch all messy and muddy. You can't take a nap on the bed because you'll ruin the mattress. You've got to strip those old clothes off, those grimy clothes, hop in the shower, and put on new clothes, and then you can be part of your household again. Right? That nasty stuff is incompatible with the interior of your house, and Paul's imagery is like that. That stuff that you used to do, impurity, deceitfulness, slander, you're taking that stuff off, you're getting rid of that stuff, and then, verse 10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Put these kinds of things on. Put on tender-hearted mercy and kindness. These are true marks of followers of Jesus. And I wonder, when people outside of the church think of Christians as a category, do they think of people who are defined by tender-hearted mercy and kindness? Or do they think of people who are advocating for themselves, who are assertive, who are dominating the conversation and the thought? Are we people who are living out tender-hearted mercy and kindness? Are we putting this stuff on? Put on humility and gentleness. Do others see us represent Jesus well, or do they see us represent ourselves well? Are we building our platforms or are we building God's kingdom? Put on humility and gentleness. Put on patience and forgiveness. And these are things that we talked about in the summer, and they seem to come up over and over in Scripture, and I think that's because God must care about patience and forgiveness. Patience instead of frustration with others, and forgiveness instead of retaliation. And then put on love. And love is looking out for another's highest good above your own. These are the kinds of things worn by the people in God's household. These are the things that are compared to that old sinful nature that we've cast off, the grimy sets of clothing, the anger, the bitterness, the rage. All of that stuff we put behind us, and now we're clothed in these kinds of qualities. Living in peace. Verse 16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives, teach, counsel each other with the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. If this sounds familiar, it's good. You were paying attention last week. We read these two verses. The implication of these verses, it's clear. Whatever you do, whatever you say, your focus, your attitude, your actions, your thought life, all of this should be done as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of life that was characterized by those old behaviors, those old attitudes, those old reactions to other people, our lives are now characterized and they demonstrate that we have met Jesus, that we know him, that we love him. Do you know that things are, and you probably do, do you know that things are very different now for God's people than they were for God's people a couple thousand years ago during the Old Testament times? For God's people back then, rabbis have identified a list of 613 different commandments. 613. These are the do's and the do nots, the celebrate this festival, the eat that, don't eat that. 613 commandments. If Jamie and I sat down to write the rules for our household, I think we'd fall far short of 613. How can you even remember all of those, let alone live those out? But God's people today, you and I, because of Jesus, because the law and the prophets were fulfilled in the person of Jesus, we live lives that are characterized by freedom, right? This is the whole book of Galatians, that we live lives in which the Holy Spirit brings and produces fruit in our lives. And so for us, they're not 613 commandments. There are some lists here and there of attitudes and behaviors to discard and some things like the fruit of the Spirit that we want the Holy Spirit to grow in our lives. But there's not celebrate this festival on this day, give exactly this much money to your church, make sure you fast and pray this many times per week. Instead, our lives are characterized by freedom in Christ, lived through the power of his Holy Spirit, by change, by distinction. And so for you and for me, when we live these lives of seeking God with our hearts, of studying God with our minds, of serving God with our lives, others will see, it will be clear, our lives will demonstrate that we've met Jesus. It'll be obvious to other people. When I was a freshman at Great Lakes Christian College a year or two ago, is what it feels like. When I was a freshman there, I found some people to become friends with. And this happens to lots of students. Over the first couple weeks of school, your friend groups kind of come together and solidify. And in any friend group, as you spend time with them, you start to talk about the same things. You're into the same things. You know, your conversation, the things that you do, even the things that you wear, start to look similar. And so eventually, from a distance, people could see, oh, that's that friend group on campus. And that's the way it is with any relationship. We become like the people that we hang out with. That's the way it should be in the family of faith. Our lives should demonstrate that we have met Jesus, that we know him, that we love him, that we serve him. And so if that's the case, well, then back to our original question, what does it look like to serve in God's kingdom? Well, I got to tell you, it may not be a list, and it's more of a putting on of these attitudes. How will people know that you love Jesus, that you've met him? Because you're serving. What does that look like? Well, honestly, it varies. It's not going to be the same for you as it is for you as it is for you. I do know this, though, that a lack of service demonstrates a lack of spiritual maturity. I also know that there are so many ways for you to serve here at our church. I mean, there's a table out there recruiting volunteers for guest services. We need servants in Kid City. You can serve on the maintenance team. You can serve as part of our Sunday morning event here. There are different levels of responsibility and different levels of commitment. And so if the thought of helping out with the live stream freaks you out, well, maybe you just show up and you shadow the live stream operator and you help set up and get ready for the day. And if the thought of serving with little kids back in Kid City is terrifying to you, well, maybe you just call Greta up and say, hey, how can I benefit your ministry in some other way? Or perhaps just consider being a room assistant. It's less about a specific action and it's more about taking an action. It's not a simple checklist. It's more like a set of clothing. When you are at work this week, it's a Wednesday and your coworkers see you. They're not going to know how many boxes you've checked off your task list this week. But they probably are going to notice what you're wearing, and if you show up in that beekeeper's outfit, they're going to have some questions. It's the same way for faith. When people interact with you in God's family, outside of God's family, they're not going to know if you've fasted 6 times this month and if you've read your Bible every morning and if you've prayed every evening. But they're probably going to know if you've clothed yourself with tender-hearted mercy and kindness, with humility, with compassion, with patience and forgiveness. It'll be evident that you have met Jesus. So for our church, we've got these S3 cards, we've got these discipleship cards we've talked about for the last couple weeks, right? And on these discipleship cards are some pretty specific actions for seeking, studying, and serving God in our personal lives. That's the one-to-one and together with God's people. You'll notice on the serve row, the actions are a little less defined. Because we want to encourage you to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to love like Jesus. We want to encourage you when you serve to act like Jesus. And what does that look like? Well, it depends upon your life and what God is calling you to do and the people that you know. And so in your personal life, in your neighborhood, in your apartment building, we're encouraging you to bless your neighbors. And there's a whole discussion that goes along with that acronym there that we don't have time to talk about today. But you understand what it means to bless people, right? It means to intentionally go out of your way so that some other person can benefit. To inconvenience yourself so that you can build a relationship, strike up a conversation with your neighbors, with somebody who's on your block, in your building, so that eventually maybe they can come to know Jesus Christ because of the way that you live. So bless your neighbors. And then in the area of serving, as a church family, we're encouraging you to serve together as God's people here at our church. Where is that? What is that? I don't know again. But I do know there is an area for you to serve in. I do know, again, that not serving, a lack of serving, demonstrates that spiritual immaturity and that God is calling you to serve. As we close up this morning, I want to read verse 17 again because it is so good. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do or say, a life of service is lived out one day
at a time. In your home, with your friends, in your workplace, at your school, at the gym, in your neighborhood, in your apartment building, a life of service is lived out one day at a time. And when you become the kind of person who puts this stuff on, people are going to take notice. How do you know it's a BWL worker in your yard and not just some rando traipsing through? It's by the hard hat and the high visibility vest that they have on. How do you know that the person that you're talking to at the shop is a mechanic? It's because of the uniform they're wearing with their name tag embroidered in the company logo. How will others know that you have met Jesus? By the behaviors, by the actions, by the attitudes that you have clothed yourself with that demonstrate that you have been with Jesus. A posture of gentleness and patience that leads you to serve in Kid City. An attitude of humility that leads you to reach out to some of the shut-ins in our congregation or to serve here with our maintenance team. An attitude of generosity and kindness that leads you to serve with our student ministry, with teenagers who are still figuring out who they are. All of those attitudes, all of those postures could lead to very different actions because it's not as much about taking a specific action as it is about taking an action. And when you do so, it's going to demonstrate to others that you have met God's Son. Father God, we come to you this morning and we're so thankful for what Jesus has done for us. God, we're thankful for the new lives that we get to live, lived out in your presence, among your people, empowered by your Spirit. And God, I pray for us this week that we would be people who put off that old stuff, that we set aside those behaviors that defined our lives, the stuff that comes out of our sinful nature, and that instead, God, that we would clothe ourselves with these qualities, the humility, kindness, gentleness, patience, the fruits of the Spirit that you want to grow in our lives, forgiveness. God, that we would be people who live out love, both here as a congregation and out in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. And Father, that as we leave this place, that you would bring to our minds specific steps that we need to take. Because God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You created us and you love us. And we thank you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If we get a chance right now to respond to God in singing and in worship. In worship through giving back and in worship through celebrating the Lord's Supper together. This is this moment that we do every week when we remember Jesus' sacrifice for you and for me, how his body was broken for us, and that's what that bread represents, and how his blood was spilt for us. That's what that juice represents. And the Bible talks about how followers of Jesus, how God sees us differently. Right, how we've been clothed with Christ's righteousness. And so we are now right before God, not because of anything that we have done, but because of who we know and who we've given our allegiance to. And so as we celebrate, as we worship together this morning, I encourage you to remember what Jesus did for you and to thank him as you partake in communion this morning. Would you stand and worship with us?